Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and I'm really excited to be able to be talking today with Catherine Austin Fitz, who I have heard speak before and have been very blown away by what she has to say. So she's here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we're getting to talk and share this conversation with you. Catherine Austin Fitz was managing director of Dillon & Reed, which is an investment bank in New York, in Wall Street. Yeah, in 1989, she was Assistant Secretary of Housing in the first Bush and Daddy Bush administration. She left early, and she's going to tell us about that. Presently, Catherine Austin Fitz is living in Tennessee and working full time. Fighting the Department of Justice. So having said that, maybe you can talk a little bit more about your background and why it is, Catherine Austin Fitz, that you did leave the government early. And I just want to let people know that we're going to get into some things you can do. And people are so frequently saying, what can we do? We don't know what to do. So definitely stay tuned. So a little more background, Catherine.
It's great to be on. I left the first Bush administration because of disagreements with the secretary. He continually asked us to do things that were illegal, and I wouldn't do them, and the tension grew up, so I left early. The administration asked me to come back in as a governor of the Federal Reserve Board, and I declined and instead decided to start. I discovered the internet in 1989 when I was in the administration. I decided to start an investment bank and software developer in Washington. And my theory, after having worked in government, was that communities could finance privately with equity and get out of sort of the trap of government control of neighborhoods. And so I started the firm, and we did two things which appears to have given offense. The first is we were hired back and were helping HUD do privatizations, but instead of doing the Enron 10 cents on the dollar privatization, we were getting full dollar. We saved the American taxpayers $2.2 billion, according to the General Accounting Office. And the problem was, as the taxpayers and communities made more money, the private interests made less money. So that caused offense. The other thing we were doing was developing a software tool called Community Wizard that was web-based, and it would allow people in neighborhoods to dial in and collect up all the financial information from federal databases about how the money worked in their neighborhood. And we were mapping, we're making geographic information system software maps showing government investment in neighborhoods. I don't know whether you've seen it. One of those maps was published by From the Wilderness, because it turned out that there was tremendous... There were very interesting patterns of the HUD investments compared to government-sponsored narcotics trafficking. And Mike Rupert, who was an investigator in South Central L.A., when he saw the maps that we were doing, said, oh, my goodness, you know, this is showing incredible stuff. Anyway, so we were doing that. And then in 1996, my company was targeted by one of these private snitches who works a lot with the Department of Justice. And we went through a process, my company and I, of 18 audits and investigations where really the Department of Justice tried to frame us. They seized our offices. They destroyed our computer systems. We were target of a smear campaign. We had physical harassment and surveillance. I always tell people, if you've seen the movie Enemy of the State, One of my friends always introduces me at conferences and says, I'd like you to meet Catherine Austin Fitch. She played Will Smith in real life. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, I was forced to deeply study how the money works on organized crime in communities, because it appears, Sue, from what was happening is that as we were helping communities be successful, the people who are making money on communities failing were perturbed. Mm-hmm. And so the issue became for me, my dream is to build networks of or to finance networks of Solaris, Solaris, a community data bank. And the question for me became dealing just, you know, day to day with managing this process with the Department of Justice. But the other thing, understanding how we could move forward with communities succeeding in a way that would not cause so much problem with the powers that be. And that's what I've been working on. And what I'm hoping is this year, when I finish doing the work on the latest round of litigation, I can proceed next year to start to do my passion, which is to raise capital and finance community data banks around the country and around the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really interesting. I would like you to say a bit more before we get into the what you can do, because the whole issue of people believing what is happening and has been happening for a long time in the United States and is probably, in my opinion, going from bad to worse. I mean, you know more about it than I do, since you were on the inside and you just kind of zoomed over. HUD was asking you to do illegal things. I heard you say on another radio show, don't even bother to write to your Congress people or the agencies, that there's nobody who's accountable and there's no more government or something. I mean, could be misquoting you, which is why you, right. I'd like you to say yourself just a little bit about that, because you can.
Let me give you a story, because I find stories to help explain these things. About 2 months ago, I was in a town hall meeting. Congressman Van Hillary, who's the congressman from the Tennessee 4th District, is running for governor. And so I was listening to his presentation, and he was saying that the reason he should be governor of Tennessee is that he's the kind of person who could bring financial accountability to government. He's on the Armed Services and Budget Committees federally. And so I asked him a very detailed question about the fact that $3.3 trillion is missing from agencies that are not implementing financial statements, independent audited financial statements as required by law, and reliable systems. That was a provision that I'd helped legislate in the Bush administration. These agencies had until 1995 to implement them, and some of them just have refused. We have over 11 agencies. Most of the federal budget is out of compliance with the laws.
So I just want you to get that, folks. $3.3 trillion is missing, mm-hmm. unaccounted for, of our tax money.
So I asked Congressman Hillary, you know, do you know about this? And his face turned sort of ashen white, and he said, yes, I do. I know. So, well, several weeks ago, Donald Rumsfeld had admitted in testimony and in a press conference that in 1 year the Department of Defense was missing $2.3 trillion, but, quote-unquote, we can afford it. Now, let's talk about how much money this is. This is $11,700 per American person, resident. So you can imagine how many of your listeners don't have $11,700 sitting in the bank. So,
right, and then I can think of all the people with nowhere to live and no housing. Right. Speaking of housing, no low-cost housing having been built, and just all the horrendous social issues going on.
Right. So I said to Congressman Hillary, what have you done to identify, you know, what cash is missing and to get it back? And he looked at me crestfallen and said, you know, there's nothing I can do. You know, now, there are many things he can do, and I followed up with a letter to him and all the candidates in my area, listing the 13 things they could do and asking them if they've done them, and if not, would they commit in this election cycle to do it? That list of questions is up on the internet and is accessible to anybody who'd like to write a letter. We call it the Get Our Money Back campaign.
You want to give right now, and then we'll give it again later, too, how you get that.
Okay.
On the internet. What's the address?
There's a channel for the Get Our Money Back, or under my name at conspiracyplanet.com, www.conspiracyplanet, has all the letters posted for the Get Our Money Back campaign. You can also, when I get back, I'll link to it from our website. So next month you can reach it through my website, www.solari.com.
That's S-O-L-A-R-I?
S-O-L-A-R-I. But to go back to your question, I think there are a few other things you can do, because the part of the problem, people talk about the federal government, and I don't think of the federal government as a government. I think of the federal government as a large pot of tax dollars and tax-based financing that flows in and is essentially controlled by a group of banks and military contractors. HUD is run by a group of military contractors, Lockheed and DynCorp being two of the most important. And one of the things I've talked a lot about is the extent to which these contractors involved at HUD are also the same group of companies involved with Enron, same players. One of the things you can ask for in this election cycle, which I would encourage very much, is a requirement from our congressmen and senators, I would recommend this be done in state and local, to make accessible through the World Wide Web contracting budgets and copies of contracts, so that you know at any government agency, whether federal, state, or local, you can see all the money that's going to private corporations to run all these government functions. And by having the contracts accessible, you can know the performance standards that these companies are to be held accountable to. For example, the $3.3 trillion missing is missing at the Department of Defense and HUD. All of those agencies are paying fantastic amounts of money. Lockheed Martin has paid $150 million a year to run HUD. Why are we paying someone $150 million a year when money just keeps going missing and missing and missing? It's incredible.
It sure is. Well, I remember hearing some years ago about the Defense Department and $2,000 toilet seats and that kind of level of corruption, where just with the corporations, private corporations and government. And of course, I can't, you know, keep reminding people this is our money. And to me, there's nothing wrong with paying taxes if it helps people and gets things done, but not when it goes down the drain or into the coffers of these private corporations that are already making huge, I mean, there's the heads of them anywhere are making enormous, enormous, enormous amounts of money. And I think most people have a bit of a sense of that.
Well, the theory is we should make enormous amounts of money because we're performing, but they're not performing. Let me give you an example. There was Insight Magazine wrote a fabulous cover story about 4 months ago on sex slave trafficking by DynCorp employees when they were supposedly doing aircraft maintenance in Eastern Europe. There are two lawsuits now, one in America and one in Europe, in London, because of the sex slave trafficking and dealings between DynCorp employees and the local mafia. The employee in Texas who tried to bring it to the attention and get the sex slave, can you imagine, the project manager was buying and using children for it's pedophilia, it's very ugly stuff. That article was circulated to every member of Congress. Insight is delivered for free to every member of Congress. In the subsequent 2 weeks, DynCorp was given the contract to control all of our computer and information systems at all the embassies and consulates worldwide. Can you imagine? Insight followed up with a second story. I believe, again, it was a cover story. It turns out that the aircraft maintenance and helicopter maintenance they were doing was not dependable and not reliable. So our own soldiers were at risk because, you know, you had the danger of airplanes and helicopters crashing. And so when these fellows say that they should be paid vast amounts of money because they're performing, these guys are not performing. Let me give you one more statistic if I can. According to a Senate Governmental Affairs study, Government at the Brink, published in June 2001, there are 11 agencies of the federal government who are not complying with the requirement for independent audited financial statements and reliable financial systems. When you compare the current budget, what you find is those 11 agencies receive 85% of all of our tax money. Let me break this down on a per-person basis. the American people on individual taxes. And remember, we pay most of the taxes, not the corporations. Those are small, you know, small and shrinking.
And often the biggest corporations pay zero taxes. Right.
Exactly. So we're paying on average $5,300 per year. And of that amount, $4,600 goes to agencies that are not compliant. I mean, can you imagine if we could not produce reliable financial statements to the IRS every year? We'd all go to jail. So, and let me keep putting this number. If you go to Conspiracy Planet, what you'll find is a breakdown that calculates the per person for every state. So if you want to look at just California, whatever your state is, you can see the per person of how much money is going down this black hole. Now, the Bureau of Economics, sorry to throw so many statistics,
no,
but numbers
it's good,
are great.
It's good, yeah.
The Bureau of Economic Analysis, BEA, has been publishing a series, and I've been looking at it, and this is also available on Conspiracy Planet. It shows the average American for the last, I think it's the last 12 quarters that I've tracked it, so the last 3 years, has income of $32,000 and expenses of $37,000, which means we're all supporting ourselves by borrowing or liquidating assets. So that's $5,000 that we come up short every year and have to liquidate just to survive. Meantime, if you look at what's happening to the corporate assets, they're going up by the equivalent amount. And so what you're watching is a wholesale transfer of our assets into the corporations facilitated by government. And the greatest tool to facilitate this transfer is in fact the federal budget, because you know, to give you an example, after $3.3 trillion missing at the Department of Defense, what happens after September 11th? Are they held accountable? No, they've gotten, you know, I mean, in the budget, they've gotten a $48 to $60 billion raise, and according to the emergency spending, it looks like a $150 billion raise. And I always say, you know, when people ask me about September 11th, what happened? I said, we pay $350 billion a year to be safe. An hour after the first act of war, they couldn't protect their own headquarters, so we gave them a $48 billion raise. We're rewarding failure. The worse these guys perform, the more money we give them. And what is happening is a wholesale transfer of our assets into the corporations in payment for their refusal to perform.
Well, Catherine Ostrand Fitz, my guest here, who I want to remind people used to work for the government as Assistant Secretary of Housing under George Bush administration. So you know where what of you speak. And I'm wondering how, of course, the big question is, and it's really great that you can explain this so well. And it doesn't surprise me. And what is the explanation for how this goes on? It just seems like the corruption is just so overwhelming.
It's complicated. Let me tell you another story. I find stories to be useful. The American economy is a non-sustainable economy. We are very dependent on the profits of war. We're very dependent on organized crime. And I'll give you an example. The Department of Justice estimates that the United States is the worldwide leader in money laundering, laundering illegal profits, laundering $500 billion to $1 trillion a year. That's about $1,500 to $3,500 per American. I was giving a speech to a wonderful group of people called Spiritual Frontiers Foundation in Philadelphia about 2 years ago on organized crime. And we got to the end of the lecture, and I said, okay, what would happen if the United States stopped being the leader in organized crime, and we just stopped that $500 billion to a trillion, what would happen? And so the audience of about 100 very wonderful people said, well, you know, the stock market would go down a lot. And then they said, you know, we'd have trouble financing the government deficit, because you can imagine how much accumulated capital is now controlled by the people who want their $500 billion to a trillion to get laundered every year. So that, you know, we'd have trouble financing the government deficit, and our government checks might stop, or, you know, our taxes would go up. So I said, okay, there's a big red button up here on the lectern. Who, you know, by whatever product of your imagination, we can stop all of this at once by pushing the button. Who here will push the button? And out of 100 people, how many would push the button? Do you remember?
One, I think. One. If it's chilling, it's quite a chilling story.
Right. Only one would push the button. And I said, okay, the other 99, why would you not push the button? And they said, we don't want our mutual funds to go down. And you know, our pension funds is all invested in this stuff. And we don't want our government checks to stop. And I said, okay, so, you know, we discussed the Gary Webb story. And I said, so what you want is you want a series of people to continue to market drugs to your children and your grandchildren with the help of the Department of Justice and CIA. And they said, yes, that's right. And, you know, so the problem, and this is my thesis in a lot of the writing that I've done. I've written a very famous article called Narco Dollars. Narco Dollars for Beginners. It's up on Narco News. You can find it on a Google search or link from our website. But my thesis is we've all become addicted to these cash flows. And America is the leading exporter of arms. That's a lot of jobs. It's a lot of cash. And so we have a non-sustainable economy. We're all addicted. I was listening to Greg Palast talk about how the Bushes were protecting the Saudis during the 9/11 investigations. And I realized, I didn't get a chance to say to him afterwards, Saudi Arabia finances is one of the biggest holders and buyers of treasury bonds. Now, everyone in this area gets government checks or has someone in their family or friends who gets government checks. It wouldn't surprise me. One possibility, and I don't know the truth, is if you and I were in George W. Bush's place and realized that the Saudis might stop financing us if we did this thing to offend them or that thing to offend them, and we don't want our government checks to stop. So we're all complicit in a non-sustainable economy, and my focus is on moving us to a sustainable economy because we all are addicted to the money, whether our immediate lifestyle is legal or not.
Yeah, well, and even I can relate. So it's time to talk about what we can do.
Well, there are many things we can do, but the first thing, and this is the most important principle of what I call the Solari model, life is simple. There are good guys and bad guys. And what we need to do is start shifting the resource control from the bad guys to the good guys. And so the first thing your listeners can do is remember the most important thing is to protect their energy and for them to get more energy. I hate to recommend anything that's going to tell people who are already trying to offset all the evil through more hard work that you should work even harder. Okay. The first thing everybody should do is take care of themselves. You know, be a good guy, but let's protect and preserve the energy of the good guy. And a lot of the Solari model flows around trying to build up and support the natural leaders within your organizations, within your community. The important thing is pick out the natural leaders around you and support and build them up. The second thing I would recommend if you're interested in acting in the election cycle is demand this kind of disclosure of the involvement of contracts in your local, state, and federal government, and push all your representatives, demand that they get the money back, or they condition appropriations of all these agencies to compliance with the standards of financial disclosure. So say, you know, why should the Department of Justice get money if they're not going to prosecute Enron? We need to hold them accountable for performance and tie it to their appropriations in their budget. They perform, they get their money. They don't perform, cut their appropriations. They have to be on the same performance cycle that we are in our jobs.
Do you think Congress will support this?
They will support it if the citizenry is aggressive enough. Because what I'm describing are actions which are very much the standards that we as citizens are held accountable to. And we're only asking them to obey the law. I mean, they're off the reservation. The one thing I would encourage, if any of your listeners are tax attorneys or tax accountants or tax judges, I think the time has come for us to ask the attorneys among us, should we, you know, what conditions can we put on our taxes to really hold these guys accountable? Because if our government is acting illegally and outside the law, what are our responsibilities under the Constitution to put our taxes in escrow and to start to take real forceful action to ensure that they're obeying the law. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another thing.
The whole issue of taxation, I mean, that's, I guess, the basis of the American Revolution.
Right. I mean, clearly what we're dealing with is something where we need to find under the Constitution and under the law what kind of Boston Tea Party we can do within the law to ensure that the government is lawful or to cut off the money. But the other thing is, as we learn about what corporations are stealing all this money or failing to perform, we can, through our deposits, through our purchases, through our investments, we can make sure that we don't just act but transact. We have to start transacting and messing with their money so that if somebody is, you know, if media is telling you a lie, don't buy them. Don't watch them. Cut them off. So
these boycotts need to be organized so they know they're happening.
Right. But we need to not just boycott the bad guys. We need to shift our money to the good guys so that people who are providing us with good media, I mean, why shouldn't you get paid? We need to be paying the people because free press stands between us and the abyss. So I think we need to cut off the money from the bad guys, but shift our money positively to the good guys.
Sounds good to me. Catherine Austin Fitz, give your webpage again, and then we'll have to tie it up.
Okay. The webpage is www.solari.com. I'm offline until the beginning of July, but if anybody wants to sign up for the Solari Action Network, we update people on these issues once a month. They just need to send an email to asking me to sign them up at catherine@solari.com. That's Catherine with a C at solari.com.
Okay, thank you so much, Catherine Austin Fitz. And my name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.